Five reasons computers are mindless. Minds think. Computers massage digits. Minds understand concepts. Computers understand nothing. Minds worry, doubt, self-reflect, and await insight. Minds have feelings. Computers spit out answers based on crunching numbers. Minds ask why. Computers ask nothing unless ordered to by someone with a mind. Minds navigate through the world by having experiences. Computers have no experiences. They run software. Nothing more, nothing less. In fact, the computer model of the brain has risen to prominence only because previous models proved to be so inadequate. We can briefly tour the junkyard of rusted-out models, noting along the way why each contains a fatal flaw as it attempts to explain the mind as a brain operation. Denial. This is ground zero, the claim that only the brain exists, the mind being a byproduct that has no reality on its own. Deniers have one great advantage. They can go about business as usual without bothering with the mind. That's an appealing prospect to many. After all, they say, the practical business of a science doesn't need to talk about the mind. It needs to do experiments and collect data. There's also soft denial, which says that the mind exists, but it's a given, like oxygen in the air. Both are necessary, yet you can do science for a lifetime without needing to refer to them. The fatal flaw in denial. Deniers can't explain many things, notably the mind-like behavior of quantum particles and the observer effect. The fact that consciousness changes the quantum world is just as practical as any other scientific fact. Therefore, leaving mind out of the argument isn't viable. There's also the unavoidable way that mind and matter are constantly interacting in the brain. Thoughts give rise to chemicals, and vice versa. No one could seriously call that unreal. Passive perception. Another camp admits that the mind is real, but limited. The brain knows the world through the five senses, acting as a data collector. This viewpoint is appealing because science itself is all about data. Like a point-and-shoot camera, the brain is passive, but very accurate. It brings an object into focus, and trusting this picture, along with the other four senses, is good enough. If you need better data, something science can't do without, there are always better telescopes and microscopes to extend our vision to regions the eye alone cannot see. The fatal flaw in passive perception. All the microscopes, telescopes, X-ray machines, and every other instrument created to act as passive perceivers do not perceive anything without the human mind to interpret them. The minds that constructed these devices didn't do it passively. The creativity of consciousness was involved, which goes far beyond mere data collection. Complexity equals consciousness. This camp has an expanded view of the mind as a very complex phenomenon. In fact, complexity can help us understand how the primitive nervous system of worms, fish, and reptiles evolved into the infinite richness of the human brain. The appeal of complexity theory is that it skirts the thorny issue of how dead matter somehow learned to think and light up on a brain scan. Matter is matter, period. But over the course of billions of years, simple atoms and molecules evolved into incredibly complex structures. The most complex of these structures are associated with life on Earth. If life is the byproduct of complexity, then by the same logic, the properties of living things can be traced to their complexity. For example, one-celled organisms floating in pond water will seek the light, and from this primitive response, all visual systems evolved, including the eagle's eye, which can spot the movement of a mouse from hundreds of feet in the air. Likewise, Everything the human brain can do has an ancestral origin in creatures that do it less well. The way chimpanzees use rudimentary tools, and honeybees dance in a pattern that maps out where the best source of pollen is. In a world of ever-evolving complexity, the human brain sits at the apex as the crown jewel. Complexity gave the brain its abilities, including thought and rationality. The fatal flaw in complexity equals consciousness. No one has ever shown how complexity explains the attributes of life. As we mentioned before, adding more cards to a deck doesn't mean that the deck will suddenly learn how to play poker. Taking primitive bacteria and throwing more molecules at them doesn't explain how the first cells came into being, and certainly not how these cells learned complex behaviors. The zombie hypothesis. This camp is marginalized, but has gained media attention from its catchy name and the publicized efforts of one staunch advocate, philosopher Daniel Dennett. The basic premise is deterministic. Every brain cell operates by fixed principles of biochemistry and electromagnetism. Neurons exist without choice or free will. They are trapped and conditioned by the laws of nature. Therefore, since every person is the product of brain cells, each of us is essentially a puppet dependent on physical processes we have no control over. Like zombies, we go through the motions of living entities, but our belief that we have choice, free will, a separate self, and even consciousness amounts to a reassuring story that we zombies tell around the campfire to keep warm. Akin to the complexity theory of mind, the zombie theory holds that consciousness is a byproduct of the brain's quadrillion neural connections. Build a supercomputer with just as many connections, and it will be as seemingly conscious as a human being. The fatal flaw in the zombie hypothesis. Two fatal errors come to mind. Leaving aside the preposterousness of the claim that human beings aren't conscious, which smacks of mischief rather than serious thinking. The first flaw is creativity. Human beings are capable of practically infinite acts of invention, art, insight, philosophy, and discovery that can't be reduced to fixed cell functions. Second, the zombie argument is self-contradictory, because the people who espouse it, being zombies, have no way to show that their notions are trustworthy. It's like having a stranger come up to you saying, "I'm going to tell you all about reality, but first, you need to know that I'm not real."